Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Good morning, everybody. What a beautiful morning, Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday. Is that really loud, Adam? I need some headspace, some room to get a little excited this morning. Because it is Easter morning. And Easter brings such power. Sorry, my eye thing turned off. I'll have to reset it. That's why I have a paper pen copy. Got it. Let me pray. Jesus, we thank you. Lord, we're so in awe of this moment in history, the resurrection of Jesus. It's a mind-bending truth, the significance of which has changed history. This morning I'm praying that history will change us, that what was real and is real will transform our lives today. Holy Spirit, teach us the significance and how we live in the light of the resurrection. But thank you for all that you've done for us, Jesus. Amen. Come with me to 1 Peter. There is an amazing passage I want to explore this morning about the resurrection, about the reality of Jesus rising from the dead. It's a fact, it's a historical fact, but it's not just a historical fact. Let's not just leave it there. It's a truth that transforms us, if we let it, every part of our world. And 1 Peter, I'm going to just dive right in there. 1 Peter, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, Peter was one of Jesus' friends, one of his first converts. You might remember the story of Jesus walking along the sea and seeing Peter in a boat. Hey, Peter. This is Peter. Seeing Peter in the boat. We need a boat. And Jesus simply said, come follow me. Peter left his boat and followed him. You might know the stories of Peter. He's a pretty passionate boy. He gets foot and mouth syndrome. He gets it wrong, but he's also fiercely loyal to Jesus and an astonishing figure who becomes one of the key leaders of the church after Jesus dies. And so Peter is leading churches, particularly in the churches around what is now modern day Turkey. And he's writing a letter back to them. And he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, let me explain that. Those five places are in modern-day Turkey. They called it Asia Minor back then. And he says that you are elect exiles of the dispersion. It just means that you are chosen to be dispersed over this world. They were Jews and Gentile Christians who found themselves in strange places. Why? Because we're talking about AD 64. If you know anything about your history, AD 64 was the rise of Emperor Nero, who was giving the Christians and the Jews a really hard time. And so Peter writes, these guys have scattered from places like Rome. They've disappeared all over that known world. And they're trying to live some kind of life. But we're not just talking about mild persecution. Nero was, well, crazy, and really hated them. Let me read you a little account. Nero was a man with light blue eyes, thick neck, protruding stomach, and spindly legs. Can you picture him? He was crazed and cruel, a pleasure-driven man who ruled the world by whim and fear. Who'd like him as your prime minister? His mother, the plotting Agrippina, managed to convince her husband Claudius to adopt her son Nero and put him ahead of Claudius' own son, first in line for the throne. Maternal concern not satisfied, she then murdered Claudius, and Nero ruled the world at age 17. Imagine that. Young man of 17 in charge of the Roman world, the emperor, the king. You can just imagine what kind of guy this was. Tacitus, one of the Roman historians, wrote this: Nero fastened the guilt and inflicted the most exquisite tortures on a class hated, these people called Christians. See, what happened in AD 64 is that two-thirds of Rome burnt to the ground. And Nero said, the Christians did it. Nero blamed all the Christians to escape his own self-interest. And so he mocked them. He covered them with skins of beasts. They were torn by dogs and perished. They were nailed to crosses. They were doomed to flames and burnt to serve as nightly illumination when daylight had expired, to quote from a first century historian. In other words, Nero hated the Christians and Jews and went out of his way to kill them, and not just kill them, torture them and brutally treat them. Horrible. Why am I talking about this on Resurrection Sunday? It's in the Bible. But you know, what we're dealing with right now, people were talking about difficult times in the world. And if you lived in Ukraine, you might feel like this is difficult. Or Sri Lanka, or Myanmar, or many other places of our world that are undergoing pretty severe difficulties, persecution, trials, problems. And even if our own nation, you know, we've had 2 years of COVID and bits and pieces, restrictions and, you know, floods, that we feel like there's been difficulties. Interesting economic times, interesting times of families and, you know, just trying to grapple school. What does that look like? And lockdowns and people disappearing and, you know, people retiring, disappearing, resigning. What hope does this book give to us in this context? What does Peter write to these people who are undergoing severe persecution? He writes about the resurrection. Isn't it incredible? They're undergoing incredible things. But he writes about the resurrection. Let me tell you the four things in this little passage that he writes to these people who are undergoing incredible trials about what's happening right now. The first thing he says, that you've got a living hope. And it's as real for us today as it was to them back then. In verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see it? The resurrection. I love it. He says, blessed be the God and Father. Bless God. Undergoing incredible trials, he goes, bless God. Because he has caused us to be born again. He's given us a new start. He's given us freedom, and he's given us a living hope. Now this word means it has a vital power in itself. So we can hope in lots of things, right? We can hope in money. We can hope in, you know, circumstances. But this is a living hope. This is a hope which actually brings hope in itself. Does that make sense? It's got something inside of it which bubbles hope. It brings life now. It's interesting what Peter doesn't write. Like where is it? Petitions against the emperor. Like, you know, go and get on Twitter or something. Like, why don't you just protest? Why don't you fight back, Christians? Why don't you try and change things? There's no mention of that. There is mention of, in the middle of your trial, there is living hope. See the difference? It's not try and change it or try and petition. They had no hope. They were hated. They were despised. They were rejected. In the middle of what you think is impossible, he says, there is a living hope, and it's called the resurrection. Even in the most trying circumstances, there is hope. How incredible. Hope that brings life now. Not when you retire, not when this trial is passed, now in the middle of the trial, you have a living hope available. Is it good news? The resurrection brings living hope. It's alive because ultimately death is overcome through the resurrection. Ultimately, even if these people have to die, they won't die. Even the very last thing that somebody can do to somebody, even that cannot kill the hope that they have, because life comes out of the grave through the resurrection. You see the resurrection's power in everyday life, breathing life, not down the track, but right now, you and I have a living hope. Right now, in every circumstance, all you got to do is close your eyes and just remember that there's a resurrection, living hope, power living in you that really does feed your soul. But that's not all. He gives us an inheritance. In verse 4, he says, this living hope brings an inheritance. There's three words here. It's imperishable, it's undefiled, and it's unfading, kept in heaven for you. Now, that word inheritance is interesting, isn't it? Now, I'd like to leave some kind of material possession, some kind of inheritance to my children. That'd be nice, hey? Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, or grandchildren, a noble pursuit. But there's so many ifs, aren't there? You know, even if you might be waiting on, you know, $10 million inheritance. But aren't there so many question marks around an inheritance, you know? Well, is it real? Is it who gets what? And, like, it gets so messy, even if you are in that position. There's never any certainty about an inheritance, but there is here. This inheritance is imperishable. That means it's not able to be corrupted or decay. It's like a car that never rusts, a house that never needs repainting. It's like a gold jewel that never needs, you know, polishing. This is something that will never fade. That's the imperishable bit. It's undefiled, means it's without defect. It is absolutely pure and beautiful, this inheritance. And it's unfading. That word comes from a flame that never goes out. It's like an eternal flame that we have here at the Carillion. This is the inheritance that we have guaranteed right now for believers in Jesus. Isn't that awesome? That's what the resurrection has purchased for us. That's the difference it makes. That's why it's so significant. We have right now for us an inheritance. My goodness. And what is it? In verse 9, it says that it's the salvation of our souls. Not just when we die. I know that we talk about when I die, I'll receive the inheritance of heaven, but it's actually for now as well. Eternity starts now. And so we live with this beautiful inheritance that God has given us. It's undefiled, and it's called salvation of my soul. It means that my soul will never die. It means there's always life inside. There's always hope. There's always freedom, no matter what external circumstance comes against me. All right, there's two. Can you remember? Living hope, the resurrection brings a living hope, and it brings an inheritance that cannot be decayed. Three, I like this one. The resurrection brings you faith proven by trials. I think that's odd. Verse 6, in this you rejoice. In the gift of God that he's given you, you rejoice. Although for now a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. There's an understatement, okay? Like, yeah, you've got a little cold right now. You know, the Emperor Nero is after you and he's about to burn you. Understated. But look at this, verse 7. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold, that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is that? What is the genuineness of my faith? Well, here it is. It's the faith for trials now. This testing shows me what I've got. Now, about 5 years ago, I were going camping. We're doing sort of a round Queensland trip. I bought a four-wheel drive. And because I, you know, like to know what I'm doing, I did a four-wheel drive course. And I went out, and this guy who was a bit like an army sergeant, he put me through my paces, and we all lined up, you know, everybody with their new four-wheel drives, and we felt like, you ever seen Cars movie where you sort of, you're going to get mud wherever you don't know. And so here we are with our shiny four-wheel drives about to climb some mountains that we're thinking, there's no way I could get up that. And this guy, he pointed to this hill and he says, you're about to drive up that. And I go, there's no way that this car can get up that hill. I know physics. He said to me, you don't know what that car's made of. I said, I kind of do, you know, it's a Land Rover. You know, I get it. He says, no. This thing will just eat that for breakfast. He says, those other ones, I'll be happy. That made me happy. And it was amazing. He sat in with me. I just put it in drive and put the dialy things, the knobs, and on the right spot. And he said, just go. And sure enough, this car just went up around this rock and down again. I thought, I would never have known that was possible if I didn't do it. That trial tested the genuineness of my four-wheel drive. That's what trials do. They show you what's inside of you. They show you what's put inside by God to push through. You see, it's like taking your faith for a test drive. We can talk about faith all we like and how God is with us. But God goes, I'm going to bless you by allowing you to walk through this season that's difficult. And you will see in the middle of it that your faith works. You cannot prove your faith just by watching on the edge and someone else do it. It doesn't mean that God's mean or a nasty kind of, you know, he's actually wanting to see what's inside of us. And he puts this incredible ability inside of us. That's what's more precious than gold, that faith inside of us that keeps us going when we think, I'm not sure how this is going to work out, but this hill's too steep, it's too rocky, this car's not... And suddenly, we made it. We did it. It's awesome. I'm going to do it again. Maybe not. That's what that word means. Be encouraged in the middle of it. Put your faith, take it for a test drive and see what it's capable of. All right, the last one here. The significance of the resurrection brings inexpressible joy. Verse 8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. We haven't seen Jesus in the flesh, but we love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Joy, inexpressible. It means that words aren't adequate. It means I can't describe what's inside of me. Remember where these Christians were. Remember the persecution. Remember that Nero was after them. And still, they've got joy inexpressible. Still, Peter says, thank God that inside of you, even if you're facing the most horrendous circumstances, there's something inside of you that is inexpressible, is full of life, is full of passion. You can't even put words to it. That's why God gives us gifts like the gift of tongues. I can't express that in English. When was the last time you felt joy? I mean, real joy, not circumstantial happiness, not happiness because I got a new job or got married or had a kid or a grandkid. You know, that's happiness, and it's wonderful. But joy can face difficulties with something that's inexpressible on the inside, and still have a smile on the face. And still have this sense of freedom on the inside and still just push ahead, because you cannot squash joy. You cannot push it down. I reckon that's what drove people like Nero crazy. because they saw these people, even in the most awful situations, with joy on the inside. They said that Peter was crucified upside down by the Romans, probably by Nero, because he couldn't bear to copy his master, his savior. When was the last time you felt real joy? When was the last time you allowed yourself to pull back and let it come up? Not because of something outside, but because of the resurrection. Because that Jesus' power is inside of you. Because his life is in you. Because he loves you right now. Because he cares for you. Because something fills your soul from the inside out. That's joy. And you know what? It's a prayer away. We're going to do it in a minute. But we complain, don't we? We're such whingers sometimes. I'm a whinger. I can't have joy. I've got a big week ahead. Oh, I should see my week. Oh, my goodness. So many meetings. So many hours in front of the computer. I can't have time for joy. Kids are driving me crazy. You know, they're sleeping at night. They're just up and I can't have your headspace. And I can't have joy because all this is happening at home. I'm under huge pressure at work. You know, this boss, he's putting the pressure on me. And I lie awake at night and worry because I know what he's going to say tomorrow. And so I can't have joy because of my work circumstances. Or I just can't get on top of life. I can't seem to just fire up in the mornings. I kind of just have this sense of heaviness and my body just doesn't kind of work and I don't feel good. I look in the mirror and how can you have joy with a face like this? I'm sick. I've got COVID. I'm not on top of my health. I can't, so what's this joy thing? I'm waiting till the end and then I'll be joyful. I'm having a really hard time in my marriage. I'm so lonely. My family's giving me a hard time for being a Christian. I invite them to church and say, what's nonsense? What are you doing that for? The resurrection brings a joy that no circumstance can take from you. You and I, believers in Jesus, can have joy, inexpressible joy, 24/7, if we allow it, if we choose it. The resurrection, I tell you, it brings a living hope from 1 Peter. It brings an inheritance that cannot be taken away. It brings faith proven by trials. It gives you guts on the inside to chase down any rocky track. And it brings inexpressible joy. My goodness, we're so thankful. Would you close your eyes for a moment? I'm going to ask the musicians to come up. We're going to end in a song in a minute, but I want to take some time right now to pray. Not just pray, but feel these things. To feel them. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Have we got an F pad up there? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. I want you to take a moment to push all externalities aside. The pressures of next week. Things going on in your relational world. Pressures of money. They're all real. It's not that they don't matter. It's just that we cannot allow them to take away the living hope inside of us. You can do this anytime, anywhere. You can just slip into the presence of God. You can be at work, you can be driving, you can be waking up in the morning. And you just take a moment to be in the presence of God. To breathe kingdom air, to breathe life and love liberty, and joy, and hope. That's the heir of the kingdom. Just go there right now. Push everything else aside. Breathe in resurrection air. Breathe in living a hope. See hope in the toughest circumstances that you face. See an inheritance for you. It's kept in heaven, reserved with your name on it. See that? Nothing will take that from you. That inheritance is a gift right now. It starts now. It's called the salvation of your soul. You see trials are going through, but you got a very good four-wheel drive. You've got a very good vehicle to navigate those potholes, those rocky roads. See yourself crawling through that, coming out the other side. See that picture, victorious. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. And see, feel inexpressible joy welling up on the inside, no matter what. Feel it. Grab hold of it. Breathe it in. It's the oxygen of the resurrection. Jesus. Take a moment. Anytime, anywhere. Slip into this atmosphere of the resurrection. There's people here this morning that you're distant from Jesus. You're feeling like I see it, but I don't have it. I want you to leave this morning confident that you've got it. You might have tastes now, and you're feeling this morning, you say, Jeff, I want more. I want this for my life. I want this to go with me into my week. I want something to change. Oh, it's time for things to shift. I want it to shift for you. If you're here this morning and you're ready for change, just raise your hand right now. I want to help you live in resurrection life. Just raise your hand. If you want this for yourself forever. Anyone? Thank you. It's the end. It's beautiful. Anybody else just need, they need this right now for themselves. I'm tired of the stress and the difficulties and the challenges. And you want resurrection air. Anybody else? Let's pray together. Jesus, come. I want your resurrection power inside of me. Come inside and give me a living hope. Give me inexpressible joy. Give me an eternity that will never fade or perish. And give me the challenges and the faith to move through any trial. I give my heart to you, Jesus. And I come back to you. In Jesus' name. Come and fill me, push me forward. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.